Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, as we look at the life of Joseph, we see hardships. We see that you have purposes and uses for hardships in our lives to get us to a place that we could serve you better. Maybe just to help us have a heart for others. Lord, whatever the purpose is, might we always be looking each day as we begin our day, might we look to you early on for what you would have for us to do that day. Lord, we pray for our pastor as he's over at the Evans Chapel right now. We pray for power from on high. Might your word and your spirit work there. And then, Lord, we pray that you'd give him safety as he travels from there to here for the morning service. Lord, again, we pray that this building, each teacher, each student, Lord, right now, that your spirit would work in each heart, that your word would reach the mark that it's intended to reach. Lord, might our hearts be receptive to your word and to your spirit. Lord, might we not be hearers only, but may indeed be doers of God's word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Genesis 37, 1 through 4. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph, a young lad, being second to the last born, and yet because he was the son of his father's old age, a special lad in the father's heart. And as we'll see through Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50, we see in Joseph's life, indeed, a special man that God had a special plan for. We see him here as a 17-year-old young lad. As we consider his life, before Joseph was taken by his brothers and sold into Egypt, God had allowed some things to take place in his life to prepare him to be strong in the hours of sorrow and temptation. When Joseph was a young man, several of his loved ones died, including his own mother. God used these deaths to cause Joseph to learn to place the right priority on the Lord and to learn to trust God in difficult times. Kelly, would you make sure those folks have a book? Learn to trust the Lord in difficult times. As we look at our lessons today, a few things we need to consider. We need to consider that the Lord may allow sorrow and suffering in our lives to bring us to himself. To bring us to himself. If I get up in the morning and I don't think about the Lord when I wake up and start out with the Lord, the tendency will be to not think about the Lord throughout the day. The Lord uses things to bring us to himself. After all, the reason we're on this earth is to what? Glorify God. Glorify God. We're put on this earth to glorify God. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I were created created to glorify God. Then to understand that the Lord can allow things to come into our lives to prepare us to be the people he desires us to be. Then to see that there is strength that comes out of sorrow. Strength that comes out of sorrow. Anybody ever lift weights and bodybuild maybe in your younger days? Okay, you do that stuff. It's hard. It hurts. I mean, not that I ever lifted weights. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm speaking from other people's experiences. But they build and they build and they build and they build. And it hurts and it hurts and they build and they build. That's what makes them strong. As Christians, you and I are made strong as we go through hard times. God prepares us for a future day when we might need to be a blessing to others. People go through some horrible times and they get through it. And the Lord uses that to build them into something that someone down the road might not be able to bear the load of. And so they'll come along beside and say, listen, I've gone through this. I know what you're going through. And a lot of times that comfort, it can really be a blessing. Then to think of the preciousness of our loved ones, our families, and to remember that they'll not be on earth forever. They'll not be with us forever. Joseph here, following along in your lessons, or lesson 2, strength out of sorrow, page 9. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We first read of Joseph in Genesis 37:1-4. However, his story really begins 17 years before these statements. When Joseph was young, God allowed him to go through things which strengthened him and prepared him to be the man God desired him to be. Joseph had an amazing heritage. He was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. His grandfather Isaac was still alive when Joseph was a little boy. Grandparents can have a large effect in children's lives. A large effect. They can deliver them a heritage in which the young lad may try to honor and try to honor the Lord in and continue. They can give him a heritage. They can teach young ones, help teach as well as the parents. Of course, the Lord has brought parents primarily for this job, but there's others around also. And the grandfathers can help and can teach. And depending at what age the kid is at, he might not listen to his parents so much. Kids get at a age, and for some reason their parents don't know much, and other parents do know much, it seems like, to them. But so they'll look to others. So others have an influence. We as grandparents have an influence. I'm a grandparent. I have 8. Got it. I have 8 grandchildren. And they've been a blessing. I've loved the time I've spent with them. Hopefully although they're young, hopefully I've tried to instill in them character, mainly God's word. And of course, like I say, they're still little. The oldest is 5, 8. That's 50%. I'm going to stop there. But it's a blessing. But we have influence on others. Grandmothers, grandfathers, you have influences. You have influences. They're important influences. It's important that we teach our children, that we teach others, that we teach everybody around us to go to God's word. That's what we've got to instill in our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. At work, when something goes right, I'll say, thank the Lord. And I'm sure people look at me and say, what a wacko. I mean, I don't know what they think. But I thank the Lord, because when you're at work and machines aren't doing what they're supposed to do and things aren't coming out like they're supposed to come out, and they call you and you go over there and you think, oh, great, now it's all me. And you think, Lord, can you get me through this one? I hope today is not the day they realize that I really don't know what I'm doing. But we teach people that God's word is the answer, and we teach it in our children. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 35, I'm going to look at three verses there. Chapter 35 and verse 8, Joseph had some hardships. We read about sorrows and events that came that no doubt affected Joseph's life. 35, and we'll read verse 8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. Deborah, of course, was Rachel's. Who knows who Deborah was? Anybody? Okay. Deborah was Rachel's nurse. When Isaac sent to go get a wife for his son, as Rachel came, Deborah came with her. She was her nurse. So Deborah would have been there in the home and raised in the home and would have been close. Amy, did I say something wrong? I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that look. So we see the nurse brought here in verse 8. Then verse 19, we read of Joseph's mother, Rachel, that she died. First the nurse died, then Rachel died. Then in verse 29, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old of age and full of years. So here Joseph is a young man. People that had an influence in his life were dying. Mother died, nurse died, grandpa died. So he's seeing a lot of death, and death affects us. It affects young people. It's something that it's hard to take a kid to a casket and say, grandpa, we're not going to see grandpa anymore. We're not going to see him till he gets to heaven. Those are hard times. Joseph went through those times. Those times were preparing Joseph to be the man that God wanted him to be. Suffering comes into our lives not just for one reason only, because we're bad. That's not the only reason suffering comes into our lives. Sometimes the Lord does bring that into our lives because we've done wrong, and we suffer because of the consequence of our sin. There's different reasons. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is certainly one of the reasons. One reason is we're fallen man. We're sinners. Suffering's coming just because we are fallen man. We have a fallen nature. We are born, and then we're headed to death after that. We're on a path of death. Thankfully, as Christians, after that is eternal life. And then another reason, sometimes God does that to bring suffering into our lives to break our hearts. We just went through Psalm 51. God had to break David's heart. And God finally broke his heart. And after God broke his heart because of all his sin, he wrote Psalm 51, that great chapter. Psalm 51, verse 17. Can you quote that, Kelly? Go ahead. I know Kelly. The reason I called on Kelly, I'm not picking on him. I know he's memorized at least half of the chapter. Okay. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I didn't pick on Kelly there. I just know he's memorized that, and he's been working very diligently on it. And these are also learning times that will reinforce that verse. If you ask him that verse next week, he'll be able to quote it to you. These are those building times. But taking God's word, hiding it in our hearts, we need to do that. And then we have it. But God does that to, there he did it to David to get him to a place where he loved the Lord. The Lord uses suffering to bring us to himself. God has a plan. We can trust his plan. God had a plan for Joseph. God had a divine plan for Joseph. God has a divine plan for each one of us sitting in this room today. Some things are going to come into our lives and they're going to hurt. We're going to cry. We're going to break down. Sometimes our knees are going to buckle and we're going to fall right to the floor in the arms of Jesus. And we're just going to say, Lord, I can't take this. I don't know how I can do this. Lord, this is hard. And the Lord knows it's hard. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside and he'll put his arm around us and help us through it. God brings sorrow for divine reasons. There are many reasons sorrow comes. Our tendency as man is, Lord, what did I do wrong? What brought this? And that's a good place to be. Maybe that's a good starting place. Lord, is there something in my life that is wrong that you want to correct? And that's a good place to be. Then if there's not, then look further for what the Lord would have. And then if you don't know, you simply trust the Lord. Lord, you have this in my life for a reason. I don't know what it is, but I trust you for it. Page 10 in your booklets, the strength that came out of sorrow caused Joseph to place a proper emphasis on life. When someone close to us dies, it causes us to think of the opportunities that are ours just because we're alive. At the graveside, people think of life. We think of death, yes, but we think of life. We think of the life that that person lived. We think of the life and the opportunities. Perhaps you've been at funerals and you've made decisions. You know, Lord, I can remember when a preacher died, and Brother Bill Hutchins served the Lord all of his life totally. I mean, the man totally gave his life to the Lord. Worked hard to pay the family bills and preached in pulpits without pay and just really served the Lord and really had a big impact on my life. And I know when he died, I thought, Lord, I want my life to honor you as his life honored you. So those deaths bring thoughts to our mind. They bring decisions to our heart. Because of death of his loved ones, Joseph had occasion as a young man to place proper emphasis on life and to consider the preciousness and the value of a life. As a young man, Joseph saw how wonderful and how grand it was to be alive. Imagine what these guys saw, these young guys out in the fields all night, taking care of dad's flocks. You think they talked to the Lord at night? I think they did. I think they did. You see David's writing, and he looked up into the skies at night and saw the stars and realized that a mighty God had created them and that God was to come and be his Savior. A mighty God. We see that as young people. We see that as we grow. We find Joseph in Genesis 37 and verse 20. We find Joseph being thrown into the pit. Genesis 37 and verse 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him. And we shall see what will come of this dreamer. Here they're going to slay him. One brother interceded. And so they just tossed him into the pit, left him there. These are some cold guys. They're sitting there eating their lunch. After this, they're sitting there eating their lunches. Probably what he had just brought out to them. I don't know. When dad sent him out to check on them. See how your brothers are doing. Probably took some food for them. Here, we'll take that lunch, and they throw him down into a pit, and they're going to kill him and get rid of him because they're jealous of him. What a cold-hearted people these guys were, sitting there eating their lunch, knowing that that guy's going to die in that hole. We're not going to kill him, but but he'll die in that hole. That's cold. Then they said, okay, let's sell him into slavery. Then we've not killed him at all. They sell him into slavery. Then as he gets there, and Potiphar's wife lies against him, and he winds up in prison. Winds up in prison. God had a plan for Joseph. Joseph went through some hard things. You and I go through hard things. God has a plan for our lives. If we forget in the hard times that God has a plan for our lives, we get discouraged, we quit. I've known over the years, I've worked in shop for 28 years, so I've been around a lot of people at work, a lot of people. And I've met Christians, and I personally know of multiple Christians over the years that committed suicide because they lost the focus. And it was other things that came into their lives. I remember the first guy, Conan, really nice guy. We used to sit together at lunch and go through God's word, but he was on an antidepressant, and I don't know what all went wrong, but he committed suicide. He lost the focus, and other things came in that impacted him. If we lose focus, only what's going on around us. I mean, Joseph here in a pit. Man, he could have lost focus, but he didn't. He didn't. God was building Joseph into the man that he needed him to be. We can't lose focus. We've got to stay in God's word. We've got to hide it in our hearts, or we'll get discouraged and we'll quit. And we'll be another name that comes across this pastor's lips about people that are gone away from the way. We've got to stay focused on the Lord. We've got to stay focused on His Word. Life can be hard, but God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. God was good in Joseph's life. God had a plan for Joseph. And as we see at the end, our memory verse from last week, Psalm 50 and verse 20. Can anybody say that, Psalm 50 and verse 20? Go ahead, Kelly. Man, Joseph at the end of his life, as the brothers are there, he says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. To bring to pass as it is this day. Here he's standing there, he has everything. He's the top dog. He's the big guy. He has it all. He says, look what God did. You guys don't have to worry. Dad dies, you don't have to worry. There's no retaliation coming. Joseph knew God had a plan for his life. Then strength that came from sorrow caused Joseph to place proper emphasis on his loved ones. When someone we love dies, most of the time we think of something we would like to have done with them that we did not do. As Joseph faced the death of Deborah, his grandfather, and his own mother Rachel, he had opportunity to think about how precious and how wonderful they were to him. As we face death throughout the years, we've had loved ones die. How many of you lost a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad? Okay, death comes into our lives, and it makes us think, doesn't it? It makes us think of the times we had with them, of going camping up north in the rustic state forest campgrounds and swimming at the dam, and you have all your memories. I have my memories of different people and the good times that we had with them. I can remember my dad always taking us to a rustic state forest. Right there was a dam, and we used to jump off the dam and go into the dam and just have a great time. We have those memories. We have those to cherish. But as we consider death, we have to consider, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to do from this point forward? I love that the Lord has many places for me where I can start from this point forward. Because there's enough failures in my life, and I'm sure there's probably failures in your life, But God will let you start right here. And if you confess your sins of yesterday, he'll let you move on from right here. And I love that about the Lord. He's so gracious and so forgiving that we can start here and move on. But God is building us into what he would have us to be. Sometimes God allows troubles and heartaches to show us how important our families truly are. God can speak to us through sorrow to place proper emphasis on our loved ones. If you ever intend to do anything to express the love you have for your family members, you should do it now. I don't know how I've systematically fallen out of attachments with most of my family. I had eight boys and three girls in my family growing up. And here the author is exhorting, life is short. Make sure you take care of things. And probably after this lesson, I need to make sure I take care of some things. I need to make some reconnect to my family. Family's important. Moms and dads are to be honored. We need to do that. The author here exhorting us to take the time to be with family members, to connect with them, to, as parents, to honor our parents. I need to honor my mother. I need to pick up the phone. I mean, it's so easy. I carry a phone in my pocket. I have unlimited. I can talk to her anytime. And yet, for some reason, I don't dial her number very often. Why is that? Am I the only guy, or do you guys do that? No, you don't. I like that, Amy. But if you're like me, after this lesson and this exhortation from Pastor Sexton, pick up the phone, call mom. Text or whatever all those other things are that they do today. Whatever level of communication you're at, use that level to honor your parents, honor your family. Then strength came out of sorrow, caused Joseph to place proper emphasis on the Lord. Proper emphasis on the Lord. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God allows things to come into our lives that cause us to place a proper emphasis on the Lord, and sometimes those things are sorrowful. When Joseph saw his loved ones die, he had an opportunity to think about people dying and standing before God. He thought of God, and he learned to place the proper emphasis on the Lord. Joseph went through many things, but he learned to place a proper emphasis on the Lord. He learned to depend upon the Lord no matter what he was going through, whether in prison, whether sold into slavery, wherever. He learned to place the proper emphasis on, Lord, you have a divine plan for me, and I'm willing to do whatever it is you need me to do to get to that point. As we see Joseph being sold into Egypt and placed into prison, remember that as a young man, he learned to keep his eyes on the Lord. God sustained him in the darkest hours. In the absolute darkest hours in his life, God sustained him. God will sustain you in your darkest hours if you will but what? Turn to him. Turn to him. We've got to look to the Lord when things get bad. When things are hard, we've got to look to the Lord. We've got to go to the place where the help is. I don't know why, but we don't tend to run to this when we need help. We'll pick up the phone, and there's nothing wrong with calling a brother. Brother Kelly, I'm discouraged today. I'm whatever. And we have brothers that come alongside. We certainly do. But we've got to run to the Lord. We've got to run to the Lord. My favorite illustration is, people don't tend to go where they need to go, is the little boy running away from my dog. I mean, all that little boy had to do was come to me, and everything would have been fine. And that 100-pound dog wouldn't have been able to chase him and have fun with him anymore. But the little boy ran away, and the dog kept chasing me. The little boy kept running. Run to me. Come over here. I can't possibly catch you. Just run over to me. And he wouldn't go to the place he needed to go. Not that my dog was going to hurt him, But when things run, dogs chase them. And the more they run, the more they chase them. And he just, he didn't go the right way. And finally the dog gave up. And not that the dog was going to hurt him. Our dog was a family member. I'm sure many of you have dogs and they're part of the family and they get names and they get talked to in a special voice and all that stuff. But the little boy wouldn't run to me. He was scared to death that dog was going to eat him. He really was. He thought that dog was going to eat him. He was running for his dear life. But he didn't run to me because I was the master. I could have said, well, if I could have got his attention away from the little boy, I could have told him to knock it off. But we got to go to God's word. When we're up against it, we've got to look to the Lord. I'm sure you've had times in your life, I'll tell you, I have, where my knees have just buckled and I thought, Lord, how do I do this? How do I make it? We go to him and say, Holy Spirit, guide me. Guide me through your word. We need to put our faith and trust in the Lord and live for God with all our hearts. Live for God with all our hearts. The sorrow that God allowed to enter Joseph's life opened his heart and allowed God to speak to him about placing the proper priority on the Lord. God does use sorrow and trouble and heartache to help us see that we must trust him. God loves each one of us, and he has a plan. He has a wonderful plan for each one of our lives. We'll know that plan by prayer and by reading God's word. God has a plan for each one of us. It's written right here. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to us as we pray. God has a wonderful plan for you that you can honor him through. Again, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, thankful for these folks coming out. Lord, I pray that your word would be a blessing to them. I pray that these lessons would be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Questions. Let's run through those real quick. Door